cold. It's always like this in here, but today it feels so cold. Did they turn the AC on? It's the middle of winter in Denver. What is wrong with them? There are toys all over the floor in the children's section. There's a mother wiping the snot from the kid's runny nose with an annoyed look on her face. Oh, I long to be here. To be able to hold a chat. Bring! The front desk phones ring, and the nurse greets the person on the other line with the most monotone voice I've ever heard. She's probably done this for the 1,000th time today. Considering the fact that I've called at least 20 times yesterday to make sure the results would be ready by today. After the 21st call, I picked out the outfit I would wear. A cream silk blouse, black dress pants, and my Nona's hair clip she wore while giving birth to my mother. I got up at 5:30 in the morning, even though my appointment wouldn't be for another 12 hours. I couldn't stomach the idea of food on such an important day, so I watched the snow fall and pet Oscar for a good 3 hours straight. Brian called, but it was only to tell me that he'd be working late and I was too focused on the soft white snow to worry about his usual tendency to avoid anything related to the B word. All I could think about was this appointment. I've seemed to memorize the routine. The 45-minute wait in Dr. Herman's office with freezing temperatures, screaming children, and toys scattered all over the floor, and the front desk phone ringing nonstop. Then Amanda would come in and tell me, "He's ready for you, hon." I would walk the inevitable 32 feet from the waiting room to Dr. Herman's office. He would sit there and read my report. This would most likely determine my physical well-being until the next visit. This continuous cycle has become such a part of my routine that I find myself coming to the doctor's office because I was so lonely at home. I would make excuses for myself. Amanda was working late with a double shift. Maybe I should bring her some Chinese. My whole life began to revolve around this 24-story building filled with anxious eyes and squirming hands. It's weird to think that a single embryo can have this much control over a 35-year-old woman. At this point in my life, I should have my own house, a dog, and a loving family. Although me and Oscar live in a 3-story house, I wouldn't call me and Brian's relationship loving anymore. After the first time, it felt like a piece of us died, and in some ways it did. Doesn't a child take a portion of its parents? It never had the chance to show us. We would never know if we would have Brian's eyes or my smile, or Brian's smile in my eyes. The mystery tore me apart. Day by day, I would imagine how old he would be. I would imagine him running up to me from the school bus and hugging my knees. It's unbearable to think how I built this world with him and he's not here to live in it. So instead of grieving, I've grown apart from the people who were closest to me, including Brian. Even though I know it was just as hard as it was for him as it was for me. You don't have to carry a baby to be just as in love with it. I wish I would have known that before I destroyed what we've had. Without people to constantly tell you what a horrible person you've become, you feel free in some sense. But it's lonely and cold. But not as cold as Dr. Herman's waiting room. It's freezing and I'm pretty sure they have the AC on. I can't get my fingers to stop trembling and the non-stop ringing of the front desk phone only adds to my uneasiness. Amanda walks in with the lo mein to-go box I brought for her. And in between mouthfuls of shrimp, I make out the words, "He's ready for you, hon."